Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Liam, the Prove It Guy, author of Limitation is a Mirage. In this podcast, I will be sharing with you actionable tips, routines, and insights that I have gathered over 20 years of extensive study with masters, experts, and world-class performers. My hope with this podcast is to save you time, money, and frustration, helping you fast-track your way to mastery. Hey guys, today I wanted to talk about routines and rituals. So I often get asked, why am I so positive? I've talked about this before. Why am I so positive? Why do I go on the way I do? And why do I do what I do? And I've been thinking about that since, maybe I was asked about a week ago, and I've been thinking about it since just. And I think it comes down to my routine and my ritual. So my routine is that, like say for example, my morning routine. I get up in the morning, I walk outside, and I do 5 or 10 minutes of really light stretch and mobility. To the normal person, it probably looks like I'm just, like I don't have a clue what I'm at. I'm just swinging my body and swinging bits about me. In actual fact, my dad often will say to me, what's the point in even going out there? What's the point in you doing that? And saying that, my dad did ask me one time, had I not completed the gym now? Which I found quite humorous. So he's been watching me for the last 20 years go out and exercise, and he just doesn't get it. He doesn't see the point, but so my mornings, that's how I wake up and that's how I get ready for my day. My nighttime ritual is I meditate at least 1 5-minute silent meditation. I do a bit of visualized distance work for people. I do a bit of different meditation as well, or breathing exercise. I do a lot of different things, but there's always a structure to it at night. So my morning and my night start and end the same way. So I'm always doing something that sets me up for a good night's sleep or sets me up for a good day. Even coming on to do this podcast, I was thinking about what I was talking about, and I was thinking I'm going to talk about rituals. And then I realized I was brushing my teeth. So whenever I go to speak on stage, or I have a client, or I go to the gym or anything, I always brush my teeth in case I have to interact with people. I think bad breath is disgusting, and like it can be something that you can stop yourself from having, so why not do something about it? So it makes me feel clean and makes me feel better if my teeth are brushed before I go and do a talk. And I always thought it'd be awful if I brought someone on stage and the whole time I was talking they were just thinking, fuck, his breath's stinking. So I always brush my teeth. Then I realized I set myself up the same way to do the podcast as I do to speak on stage. So I brush my teeth, I walk around the room, I get a bit pumped. I wear like a logo. So Become Your Own Hero was my original brand from years ago. So I wear something that I feel a bit more connected to, a bit more pumped. I've talked about it recently, or not recently, but a lot in the past about one of the easiest ways to get you through a gym session is to wear a top or something that makes you feel more engaged, more excited about being there. So you'll always see me in superhero skins when I'm in the gym. And then anytime I get tired, I just look at it and be like, well, I'm Wolverine today, so he doesn't get tired, let's get through this. So a lot of people don't have any rituals or routines or plans, or worse than that, they have ones that they're not aware of. I remember when I was PT and I had a girl come in and she had done her food diary for 3 days just. And I was talking her through the food diary and I was explaining little areas where she could make changes to improve her life, to improve the weight loss that she was after, and just to make her stronger, fitter and healthier. And then we got to a point where it was 3 donuts. And I just read it to myself and then I was like, why did you 3? Why not just eat 1 or half of 1 or even 2? Why did you eat 3 donuts? And her response was, oh, I didn't eat 3 donuts. That you must be thinking of somebody else. And I was like, I'm fucking reading it. You're writing, you just handed it to me. I'm reading it now. It says here 3 donuts, unless I'm reading that wrong. And she read it herself and was like, no, I would never eat 3. And no, definitely not. And then we looked at a few other things. And there was a few other times where it was like 2 Kit Kats. 2 Kit Kats was justified because it was 2 2-finger Kit Kats. And sure, if you buy a normal one, it's 4 fingers. So it's only really 1 Kit Kat. I didn't take that excuse as valid. 2 Kit Kats is 2 Kit Kats. Even if you bought a 4-finger one, you could just eat 2 fingers and then like save the rest for later or something. But the point was that she, even though she was reading it herself, she was still saying to herself, well, that's not me. I didn't do that. So not only did she autopilot eat the three things. She was just writing them down like she was told. So she just wrote three donuts. And it never even occurred to her. So maybe starting to think about the way that you, like starting to implement rituals, start off with a morning or an evening one, like a morning or a nighttime one. Nighttime one's the best one to start with, I think, because it sets you up for a good night's sleep, which sets you up for a better next day. The more well rested you are, the better your day's going to be. But even setting up a morning one where you get up slightly earlier, maybe 5 minutes earlier, and just move about a wee bit, get a bit mobile before you trudge your way into the kitchen to make coffee or whatever it is. So the fact that if you think about it now, there's probably things that you just do automatically. Like if there's like only two biscuits left, you eat the two of them. It's not right leaving one for some reason. So that's what was happening with one of my clients. I have millions of stories of clients coming in and saying, like, I remember having a client that ate four Mars ice creams or Snickers ice creams because that's the pack they came in. They came in a pack of four. And I was like, if they came in a pack of six, would you eat that? And he was like, well, yeah, probably. I just like to finish the pack. He didn't like to have things not finished, except his workout. He loved to not finish his workout. But when it came to food, he made sure he had it finished. So there's loads of stories like this. I could go on for ages about the different ways that people have reacted to finding out about their diet. Like once you write that down, you look at it and you go, geez, is that actually what I do? And sometimes, like, it's why it's useful to have a personal trainer or a mentor so they can look through it with you, so you don't even lie to yourself then when you're reading your own writing. But the change that once we did that with that girl, the changes that she was able to make off the back of understanding what she's doing and the way she's just doing things on autopilot were massive. She lost the weight she wanted to lose, but not only that, she had changed her relationship with food. So she started to eat healthier food and started to put on a bit more muscle. So she ended up with a great ass off the back of that, because that's what she wanted to build. So we did more squatting and things, but it would never happen if she was still eating three donuts. So they're just quick examples on rituals and ideas. So I have the same thing whenever I go to the gym. If you ever watch any of the videos of me like lifting a weight, I have a preparation before I lift it, and then I go and do it, and I do the exact same thing as I do for a warm-up set, which is the lightest weight that I physically can do that's going to give me some sort of warm-up before I go for the heavier sets, as I do for the heavier. So if you could only see my setup, you would never be able to guess which is the lightest one and which is the heaviest one, because I keep them as close to each other as possible, because I want to practice the preparation. So I don't understand people warming up differently from whenever they go to lift the heavy weight, because then you're not practicing, your central nervous system isn't getting used to it, your memory, muscle memory, your adrenaline, everything that you're setting up before you lift the weight isn't getting prepped the same way as it is for a heavy one. So when I warm up, say for example I go for a warm up of 20 kilos deadlift, just for easy math. Deadlift is when you lift the ground, the weight off the ground. So if I do that and I go over, I do my breathing, I set up, I take the bar the same way, I lift it, put it down. If I do that same thing for every warm-up set, right up to my max set, then that's what I'm training every step of the way. Whereas if I just do a wee lift it and I don't worry about it, and then I get to about 100 kilos and I start saying to myself, right, you need to be careful, this could be heavy, prepare yourself, get ready, then I may as well be saying to myself, Liam, this is going to be really heavy, fuck, what are you doing? This is going to be awful. And then when I go to do it, my body's prepared for protecting itself, so I'm more likely to get injured because I'm going to struggle with it, rather than preparing. The way that I always say to my clients is, you'll either lift it comfortably or you will feel safely. They're your two options. If you do what I say and you've practiced the way I've asked you to practice, that's what will happen. It will either easily lift up or you will feel, but you will feel safely. And it stopped most people from getting injuries. The only time people got injured was when they did something stupid or something that they weren't supposed to do. The easiest example of something stupid is when I was breaking tiles for a video or a demonstration or something in my wee gym that I used to have at home. And one of the guys, they were shit tiles. They were like the old white porcelain-y tiles for our bathroom. Not tiles you should be breaking. And so I put a wee cloth over the top of it and put about 15 tiles and smashed through them. And then there was wee, just the whole thing was a mess. So I went to get a brush to sweep it up. And one of the guys said to the other guy, I bet you I could do that. And you could if you, like, you can force your way through it. It's not about, whenever you break something, it's not about the break. It's not about the power and the technique, really, for me. It's about doing it safely. I don't care what you break. If it hurts you when you break it, then you did it wrong. I've had experience of that in the past. Some that I had to just do out of ego, I suppose, because I was in a situation and it just had to be done. And others because I just messed up the technique. So he decided he would break it. He didn't cover them up with anything because he was macho and didn't need to. And just a wee shard of the tile, because they're the wee porcelain shitty ones, just went into his finger. And just when I came out, there was just blood everywhere. And I'm like, why did you do that? So, like, they see me prep and only think there's no need for that. It's just showing off, or it's just part of the whole theatrics of it. But there's a reason for, generally, most of the things I do, there's a reason for me doing it. And it's over years and years of practice. So whenever I teach you something, when I teach you how to do it, I try to incorporate all of that into it as well. One of the examples of just having to break the tile whenever, out of ego, was when I was moving to England. I was working in a youth club. And they asked me to do a wee, like, kung fu demo. I'd never really broke anything before, but I figured it couldn't be that hard. And I remember asking my dad to get tiles, and I got these real thick, solid roof tiles. And I didn't know the setup for tiles or anything, or what part of your hand to hit it with. So the first one, I just tried to basically karate chop it, and I hit it with just the ridge of my hand, just that pointy outfit. And that was awful. Like, it started to go black immediately. But what I actually did was, I had to rub it because it was wide sore and it was autopilot. But I rubbed it in such a way that it looked like I was cheeing it up to get it ready. And then I smashed it with the same part. Like, when I moved to England, my hand was, like, wrecked for about a month. I smashed it with the same part because I had to. Ego, this is before I understood that ego can get you in bother. So it was in front of all these kids I was looking after, so I had to be done. I don't know if I've ever told this story, so if any of them are watching, they'll now know that I completely messed up what my plan was and nearly broke my hand. Thankfully, I didn't. And then when I went to England and learned how to do it properly, I was like, oh, I see my mistake. But I remember then, maybe about 3 years ago, being at an event. Just at the event, the person asked me to break tiles, and they landed with all these tiles, and they were really thin and solid. So a palm strike wasn't going to work because it was going to be too wide of air. I wouldn't have been able to fit between them. So I had to hit it with just a punch, just straight through with a knuckle, which is another terrible plan. But I was on stage. It was front of people. I just told everyone I was the prove it guy and I can do amazing, incredible things. And they were like, prove it. So it's my own fault for calling myself the prove it guy, I guess. But when they asked me to prove it, then I attempted to prove it and succeeded at proving it. And then a wee guy in the front row gave me a high five, and also it was all worth it. Then I went home with, like, a black knuckle. Worked out that I was able to hit it just with one knuckle, so I still broke through it. But the point was, it was not the best way of doing it. I didn't do any of the routine or structure. So anytime I stick to my plan, stick to the routine and the technique, I usually succeed. So that's, like, a metaphor for my whole life. Why am I successful in 90% of the tasks that I take on, or why do I feel and then learn and then become successful? And it's because I try to structure myself. I understand where I want to be, what I want to do, and who I want to be. So then I try to find the best way of doing that. I try different avenues, and I realize this doesn't work, but this works. And if I take this idea from here and place it on this journey as well, then that's going to make a much cleaner, easier way of getting to where I want to get. So I always think of it all like I'm trying to climb a mountain, and I've tried all the paths, and then eventually I'm able to get the path that gets me to wherever it is I want to go. And that's why I came up with the Prove It Guy, because then I can come back to you and say, well, this is the path I took. This is how you get there. So everybody needs the same sort of foundation in most of these stuff, and self-development and weight loss and everything. At the start, you're going to need the same sort of things to get you to where you want to be. Eventually, then, once you get to a certain level, then you need to start fine-tuning things. But a lot of people can get kick-started with just the foundational things. So I've noticed over like 20 years of martial arts and teaching for about 16 years or 17 years and doing other things that a lot of people come with the same problems or from the same area. Like even when I just did massage, like people were coming to me and they would come with injuries and I would look at them and make them walk up and down the room and then I would go, right, well, we need to realign the hip. Before we worry about your ankle or before we worry about your shoulder, your hips need to realign and that'll put things back in place. Then we can work on the other areas. And that ended up pretty much being, I would say 95% of the people that came to me, that's what I had to work on first before going anywhere else. Because I learned over the years that if I worked on the injury, usually there was something causing that injury. And if I just worked on the injury and didn't worry about the bigger picture, then they ended up coming back, re-injuring themselves, reoccurring, they needed to build strength or whatever. So I know I've just sort of thrown a lot of different angles at you, but the point of today is to talk about rituals and routines, but also to just explain that I do this in every aspect of my life. So I have the same routine and ritual when people came to me for kinesiology, no matter what age they were, what shape they were in, what they looked like, anything, how many limbs they had, it didn't matter. I still did the same things to like my test. Whenever you come to me as a PT client, I do the same tests for everyone. So there is a point, like when everyone's at the start, the foundation is relatively the same. Like every house needs to be built on a foundation. The foundation might change, you might have a basement, but the basement needs foundation, so just a lower foundation. High-rise building, the same idea. They need to start with a foundation, then you can build a structure, and then all of the design comes in after that. So that's the way I'm thinking now when I thought about what I wanted to talk about today. That's what I do with my life. I work out what's the things I need to know to get me further in whatever it is that I've taken on, whatever task. And then, where's all the bells and whistles now? So when I became a magician, I knew there were certain things I needed to learn. Then I added the bells and whistles. Then I added all my old skill sets back into that. So then I create my own version of everything that I do. So if you're going to recap, you're going to take anything away from this, build yourself some sort of morning and evening routine. Even if it's just get up 5 minutes early and just move about, shake out your limbs. At nighttime, do something, switch off the TV half an hour earlier, read a book, listen to some relaxing music or one of my MP3s, for example. They're free on the website, so you can just listen to them. Just something that switches you off and makes you more relaxed. So then when you're going to bed, you're relaxed instead of trying to go to bed and then trying to magically switch off. Then start to look at different places in your day that you have rituals you might not be aware of when it comes. If you're overweight, then look at your food. There's something you're doing with your food that's causing you to be overweight. If you are underweight, look at your food. There's something that you're doing with your food that's causing you to be underweight. If you're getting injured all the time in the gym, look at your body. There's something that you're doing that's causing that. So start to be willing to take the blame for yourself. So there's a reason that these things are happening to you. It's either how you react to something or you're not doing something or whatever it is. But you can find that out for yourself if you just start to look a bit deeper at yourself. So I've talked about this many times that I incorporate all of my learnings into everything. So all the observation skills I have, I use them for myself, for my clients, and for my day-to-day world so that I can improve. People have often asked me, what is my main goal? My main goal is longevity. It's why I don't smoke. It's why I don't drink. It's why I've never taken drugs or never smoked or drank. It's why I train and eat healthily. It's because I want a long, healthy life. But with that long, healthy life, I want it to be exciting, fun, and I want to be able to do cool shit. So that's why I look after myself. So that's just what I wanted to get through today. If you have any questions or you want to know anything more about what I've talked about, then please feel free to reach out to me. And if not, I will just chat to you on the next podcast. So have an amazing day, whatever you get up to, and I will speak to you again soon.